reminded of Jesus turning water to wine. And it hit me that there's a real vulnerability in trusting God, in trusting where Jesus is taking you and letting go of the things that you need to give to him.
So we can't make the Holy Spirit do what we want. And the agenda is always different. We just have a sense. So I'm just going to share a few things. It was meditating on our generous God that I felt the Lord saying, hey, I'm generous, so I want to give spiritual gift. So we just give a bit of time. Like I say, we only need one to stand up. That's enough. That's the glory of God. So we continue the theme of our generous God. All right. Maybe, yeah, you're comfortable here? All right. Okay. So our generous God, if we understand the concept, then we reflect his image. Then we understand we are made to be generous. Then we start thinking, I can't be generous. I can hardly pay my rent. You know, do you know how much the petrol is? $100 a week. But the generosity, all it is you have a bit more than someone else. So your affluence for influence. We all have more than enough, particularly in this country. If I go to Indonesia, even in Indonesia, the villages are so poor. They always come smiling. I say, how are you going? Oh, God is good. I'm so happy, you know, because I have Jesus. And then they only eat one meal a day. Like, you know, affluence for influence. Next one. So we want to be a thriving church, and Lawson have unpacked it so beautifully, because the heart of mission is to be a thriving church. The proclamation of Jesus Christ, the good news. We need to do that. You know, praying the Holy Spirit. But being generous. You know, he bring up the example of a church. Somebody heard that is going to be in famine next year. And then they're like, oh, we better start collection now, because next year, 2023, I may not budget for it. So I want to start giving now. That's a generous heart. And Maria is going to bring a context, another case study from 2 Corinthians 8, but no spoiler. Okay. But the gracious generosity comes from us being intimate with our good, good Father. If you don't know your Father, you actually don't know how generous he is, how gracious he is. And then it's through worshiping. You know, when you worship, you kind of like, ah, I see you clearer now. You know, I was under a veil of something, but I see you clearer now. You are such a generous God. Next one. So Colossians, we highlight the supremacy of Christ. He is above every power, every ruler, above everything you can conceive of. You know, how far, I don't know, because I'm not a scientist. If you believe in Milky Ways, universe, he's above all that. All beyond our understanding, that's basically it. He's infinite and we are not. So we can't work that out, okay? And then the scripture said, Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all. My English is not that good, but all, I think, means all. You know, sovereign means he's supreme. He rules, he reigns, he is in charge. His throne is in heavens. Now, we need to understand that that was in the Old Testament. And then Jesus came and break into the human history and say, no, no, no. All this, that yucky stuff is happening, I'm not going to have any of this. I am breaking in and I'm bringing my kingdom. When Jesus did that, hung on the cross, defeated death, defeated the devil, he said, now authority in heaven and on earth belongs to me. Again, all means all. Sometimes we think heaven is too far away. It's kind of like, ah, where's God here? You know, I can't even pay my bill. You know, exam is coming up. I'm freaking out. You know, where's God here? But God say authority is here. All means all. All right? And then in Acts 10:36, it's just basically Jesus is Lord of all. Lord, Master, Ruler of all. All right? Now, in this Christ, we have the supreme law, which I want to introduce today. If you understand this supreme law, you will not ever lack. You will be a lender, not a borrower. You'll be one that gives to the poor and not worry about it. You're the one who kind of like, hey, my brother didn't have a coat. Let me give him two of my coats. That's the supreme law. You want to know what it is? I'll tell you. What's the next one? Ah, that's a supreme law. It's very interesting, okay? We understand Old Testament. Now we're not under the law now. But Paul is the one who preaches about grace and say, hey, you know, for those without the law, I'm trying to be someone without law. But those who law, as in the Jewish, I try to behave, you know, kosher way, Sabbath and all that. But this word is say, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those are without law. Have you think about that? Have you thought about that? What is Paul talking about? This is the supreme law of Christ. If you apply it, it works. Like gravity, everything that rises, you know, I can't jump up and stay up, isn't it? Because gravity. So there's a supreme law because he's above everything. And this is a law of giving that I'm going to touch on. All right? So you understand? This law is full of grace and truth. And yet it's a law. If we obey it, it will reap the result of what Christ said. So most of Christ's law is simply what he said. What he said, if you believe in it, is truth. And if you know the truth, it will set you free. That's part of Christ's law. Believe, and you receive, and you live it out. Next one. Ah, this is one of the law. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Have you tried this law before? I've tried it when I was a young Christian. When I was only have 300 in my bank, I gave it all away to the church. I didn't get the money back, but I get out a blessing. All right, I practiced this law, and I've never lacked. I'm always blessed. Always more than enough to lend people $250,000 to buy their first house, to start their business. I've done it over and over again. I've given so much money. I'm not boasting. All I'm saying is I understand this law. You always get blessed when you give. All right? Barak. To bless in the Old Testament, to endue with power for prosperity. Who doesn't want that? That prosperity is not material thing. It's perfect peace. It's a perfect contentment of like, okay, this is enough. I think I'll give you guys a break. It's so soothing though. I might fall asleep. It's lovely. But we're going to get you guys up, all right? So I want you to tap into this law. But the problem with this law is a lot of people miss out the first part. Most of you don't know how hard my childhood is. In uni, I worked 20 hours a week to support myself. I did 2 degrees. I run 2 home groups. And I have 3 mental breakdowns. But I'm here now. When I was a kid, my family were very, very poor. our toilet was out in a hole somewhere. So as a kid, it's too far to get there. So we just do the number two wherever we can find. I learned from Miriam, number two is, you know, number two. But the blessing comes if you tap into it. All right, even though I work 20 hours, God sustained me, and I have such a great boss. When I tell people this is 1980, I got $22 an hour. They're like, what? I can't even get 22 an hour now, you know, as an overseer. But that's the blessing, the power for prosperity. I am prosperous. I marry a good wife, so good inheritance. Didn't have to do too much. But part of the blessing is a creative fertility. All right, if you're married, that means if you want to have lots of kids, you can. All right, that's a power of that prosperity. But it's also fruitfulness. So you are not married and like, okay, I don't have kids. You just come up with creative stuff, creative idea. All right, because everything belongs to God. You know, come up with great initiative. Online business or whatever, new song that break the atmosphere. And longevity. You know, what's the point of getting rich and then die early? You know, so you want to enjoy long life, enjoy your grandkids, you know, give them some money for their education and all that. So that's the blessing of giving. But the first part is you work hard in this manner that you must help the weak. Have you considered that? You work not to for yourself, but you work so that you can help the weak. The weak is not that they are inferior than us. It's just sometimes circumstances put them in a weak position where they can't supply. You know, how many dysfunctional family I know of, or how many people got abused in child that they couldn't get out of it. So those are weak people, all right? So our generous God wants us to understand this. It is more blessed to give than receive. Next one. I got lots of slides because it helps me to stay on path. All right, this is a scripture again. Example, Christ's law. He has to empty himself completely so that he can gain the most highest spot. He humbled himself as a servant, died as a slave. Slave of sin. Empty completely his glory. Why? So that we can gain his riches. How much riches? I don't know. If you tap in, some people tap in, they get more. But that's the Christ law, supreme law. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, very, very rich, the richest human being on earth. For yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. The richness is for a purpose, and the purpose is to influence and impact others for Jesus Christ. Next one. I just made that up. Christ's credit card. How good is that? No interest. You don't have to pay interest. It's interest-free. But the main thing about Christ's credit card is it's no limit. There's no limit. But it's not for yourself. That's the only thing. It's always for others first. Christ laid down his life for others. So we use a credit card, you know, buy someone a cuppa. You know, the other day we were bunning and we met Kevin. Kevin came from New South Wales. He probably thought we were rich and said, hey, we don't have anything. So we buy him lunch. But we, yeah, anyway, there's so much opportunity. You know, if Daniel is here, Daniel has always pulled us up. When he was 15, we walked past in Chinatown, you know, a straight guy with a blanket. And he like, Dad and Mom, why are you walking past and not doing anything? I like, I'm really busy, you know. I got an appointment and all that. I say, come on. So we bought the guy and, you know. But now we're free of Daniel, so we can do our stuff now. But that's the kind of thing we have to encourage each other and say, hey, I'm sure we can do something. And we collectively, you know, use Christ's credit card, because some of you have more faith than me. You know, and Daniel obviously had on that day and said, Dad, come on, come on. You saw the guy, he obviously haven't eaten, and you're walking past, you know. How can you call yourself a pastor? But okay. So affluent for influence. Next one. All right. I want to focus on the gospel. Again, Christ's law comes from his teaching, and his teaching is full of truth and grace. Christ actually taught a lot about money. Okay, somebody work it out. I haven't, but I just assume they are right, because it's Oswald Sanders. He's one of the great author, Christian author. So 16 out of 38 parables was about money. And then one verse out of six in the Synoptic Gospel, which is the three gospel other than John, was about money. So money is important. Why? Next one. Okay, it's because money can be personified as high as the Most High God. And some people get caught, and all they do is serve money. You can't love God and love money. You know, Israel was taught Yahweh is only one, so love him and serve him. That's why the love of money is evil. You can't love God and love money. So prosperity is not about loving the money. Prosperity is about loving God, who is so generous, and then he give it to us, and then we're like, thank you, Lord. What am I supposed to do with this now? Next one. Okay. Unfortunately, in my view, a lot of church teaching has got it wrong, and the overfocus of give a tenth or not, and then you miss out, because if you give a tenth, that's all you get in proportion to the blessing. Okay, so I'm not preaching against a tenth. That's why I put it down. Abraham did it, and we are seed of Abraham, so we will inherit what Abraham has, because he was born to be a blessing to many, so we can tap into that. And Abraham was the first man giving a tenth to the high priest, which names I think is Melchizedek, who was king of Salem, king of righteousness. So a lot of people say, oh, that's a good pattern, I'll do that. But the pattern is Abraham went to war and got the spoil. How many of you go to war and then get the spoil? I guess some of you, I know your work is like a war place. You just go there and fight, and so you can get your, all right? And then obviously the Jewish law is actually more than 20-30% when it adds up. A 10 is part of it, but they also, you know, give to, yeah, different laws, to the, you know, different, But anyway, if you read Jewish law, it's more than the 10 they give to the poor and all that. It all adds up. So Jesus was a good Jewish man. He came to fulfill the law, so he practiced that. Then a lot of people talk about Matthew 23:23. You know, Jesus did not oppose it, but that was a question asked by Pharisee and scribes. I'm sure none of you are Pharisee and scribe. So even the Pharisees and scribe give 10, so we should give, you know, at least 10. But the point is, Jesus wasn't advocating the tithes. He was just responding to the Pharisee and all that and saying, you give, but your heart was not faithful. Your heart was not right. There was no mercy. You just want to do the act. So God said, do that, but make sure your heart is right. So my question is, if you are graceful, full of grace, Christian with faith, don't you want to give more than 10? All right? The law is, I must give. I have to give. I am obligated to give. Now you got free will. Free will. That's why we have this free will offering. Now, I'm only preaching this because a lot of you do not free up your will to give up the offering because we are going deficit. That's not why I'm preaching it. All I'm preaching is a lot of you are not in the living in the blessed life because you don't understand the Christ's supreme law of giving. So I'm not asking you to give a tenth here. I'm not at all because I don't need your money. Seriously, I don't need your money. I actually go and work so I can put more money in the church. I just work today. I just finish at 3. All right. I work hard because I want to give to the weak. I want to give to others. I want to bless others. I'm not boasting. All I'm saying is that's my work ethic. You have your own conviction. But the blessedness of giving, you can partake of it. So free your will to give up your offering to the things of God. Next one. All right. I just summarize. You know, I like acronym, so some of you can see that. So stewardship, Jesus talked a lot about it. I give you one talent. What do I expect? I give you five. What do I expect? What's a good manager do? All right, investment. Investment is pretty much the sowing and reaping. But investment is our term, investing in possession, investing in people. You know, so part of giving is investing in people. I put nice enjoyment because a lot of time, you know, we don't understand Jesus actually wants us to enjoy his prosperity in our life. And some of you know that we upgraded instead of downgraded. We bought a $1.15 million house. It's a lot, but we pray and fast about it and ask lots of good friends and people who know us, and they say, you didn't get the money from your pastor work because you don't get any money. You've been working so hard all your life. This is your dream house. Go and enjoy it. And then Marie is like, amen, amen, amen. So that's nice enjoyment, and then giving. All right, what can we break down? Next one. All right. So stewardship is basically recognizing all I have is my master's money. Simple as that. So if it's my master money, how should I manage it? How should I steward it? What should I put into? The only way you do it is everyone's different. Ask your master. All right? I give lots of money to mission. That's because God prompted me to. You don't have to. You can give a lot to the poor around you or your neighborhood. Okay. I invest in my money because I'm not very good. So I ask my friends to say, okay, I got this lump sum. What should I do? All right. I've lost a lot of money because I'm a bad investor. But overall, I'm surplus. So I'm not telling you to do it my way. I'm telling you our money is the master's money. Each of us will give an account. $1,000, $100, $10. What did you do with it? Oh, I give it to someone in Lombok and they were planting a coffee and praise the Lord. Or, I'm just showing off my shoe. I actually bought it from Salvation Army in USA. My friend was so funny. He's like, where do you want to go? I say, we want to go to Walmart or any op shop. You come all the way to the U.S. to buy op shop? No, that's my favorite place. So I can have money to do other things, all right? The possession and... Okay, let me read this, okay? Luke 16:8-9 is a crazy verse. If you haven't read it, let me find it. Okay, this is what it says. Okay. And his master praised the unrighteous manager steward because he acted shrewdly. For the sons of God of this age are shrewder in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourself by means of the wealth of unrighteous, so that when it fails, they will receive you into eternal dwelling. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. It's amazing, isn't it? It talks about faithfulness and righteousness in how you use your money. So he's saying if you use your money wisely and you actually help a non-Christian, a pre-Christian, come to God, wow, you're going to have a dwelling place in eternal. And when you go up there and you're going to see your friend who got converted, they're going to cheer for you up in heaven. That's my paraphrase. You have to study that. So use your money shrewdly and make it convert to righteous things. That's what it's saying. I'm actually not sure what the time is. What's the time? Oh. All right. Okay. Go to the next one and I'll finish. All right. Okay. Mark 12:41-44 is a scripture where Jesus was sitting and watching people put in the money in the treasury. Lots of rich people put out of their surplus, and this widow put supposedly 2 coins equivalent to 1 mite. Very, very, very little. And Jesus say, see that widow? She gave sacrificially out of poverty. See those guys? They gave out of surplus. Now, he didn't condemn the wolves who gave out a surplus. She just pointed out, now, that's my girl. She gave out sacrificially out of poverty. Now, where did they give the treasury? In the synagogue. Synagogue is a place of assembly. And basically, Jesus pointed out ministry needs money. In the New Testament, they bring all the stuff to the apostle and say, okay, you deal with it. I think there's a lot of mission and ministry. You just use it. So you need to tap into the blessing. It's not about 10. It's just understanding you need to invest in the ministry and mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. And giving to the poor, you need to read that out. That's crazy scripture again. 34-35, it says, give to those who are undeserving. They are evil, but give to them anyway. Because then you will be like sons of the Most High God. Because as I am, you are, because I'm mercy to all kind. All kind. All kind. Righteous or unrighteous. And God wants us to do that. When you do that, you are lending to the Lord. Proverbs says, you know, when you're kind and you borrow, you know, you give to the poor, you are lending to the Lord. Because the Lord needs us to operate here. If we suddenly turn up and give someone $1 million, the guy will go crazy. But as a human contact, we do that, okay? And then the last one, you just have to understand the more you give, the more the standard you will reap the blessing, all right? This is not a prosperity gospel. This is Christ's supreme law. It's his word. With the measure you give, is the measure you get. And Paul tap in and say, okay, you want to sow sparingly? Good. Guess what? You will reap sparingly. If you want to go for it and sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. There's more, but thank you. We're going to sing the last song and finish. And then I'll pray. I'll pray now when they get up. So, Father God, I pray to hear what your Spirit is saying so that we can live according to your supreme law of Christ through your Spirit. We'll just sing this last song and then I'll close in prayer and then we'll mingle out there and look out for each other to pray.